You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Do you think I'm like public enemy number one to the Dorothys?
No, you put us on the map.
I don't think I'd put you on the map. I think you put yourselves firmly on the map. Hi everybody, welcome. Episode one, I can sing. I can't sing. Really big week. I got my official Lisa Scott Lee merch through in the post. I went to see Sunset Boulevard. Nicole Scherzinger kills it. But most importantly, Mamma Mia, I Have a Dream dropped episode one. Very exciting, which is what we're here to talk about, although the Lisa Scott Lee merch may pop up from time to time. But before we do that, I have to introduce my wonderful guest. She is a West End star. She's done Les Mis, she's done Evita, she's done Mamma Mia. And, iconic for me, she is one of the Dorothy Divas. She is one of the originals. Welcome, Jessica Daly.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thanks for getting up on this rainy, rainy morning to talk to me about silly, silly TV. How are you?
My absolute pleasure. I'm fantastic. I'm very tired because I'm just about to go on tour again, so I had to drive from London to Middlesbrough last night with a lot of my stuff, and I got home at 12:30.
Oh no.
So I'm okay, a bit tired, but I'm okay.
I imagine the main thing that's in your mind right now then is Mamma Mia, I Have a Dream, so this is perfect.
Oh my god. Can't stop thinking about it.
What are you going into tour? Let's do plugs, plug by plug.
I am about to open, we're about to go into tech for I Should Be So Lucky, which is the new Stock Aitken and Waterman musical, filled with lots of camp 80s classics, Kylie classics. So
amazing.
Your gal Kylie came to visit us in rehearsals one day.
No.
Yes.
Oh my god, is she a babe?
Oh my god, absolute babe. Yeah. And like, so beautiful and so teeny and so fantastic. Like, she was just, at one point she's like dropped onto the floor like dancing with everyone. I'm like, oh, that's Kylie.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, she's great.
Before we talk about Mamma Mia, I obviously mm-hmm. have to talk to you about Over the Rainbow. For anyone listening who does not know why I'm even here, I loved Over the Rainbow when it was on TV, but I rediscovered it in lockdown and I watched all of it, and then the Nancys and then the Josephs and the Jesuses and the Marias on YouTube, and then started posting clips about it on TikTok, which lots of people watched, and it became a bit of a thing. Yeah. Follow me, the boldest bitch. Thank you so much. I listen. Do I mildly take the piss out of it? Yes, yes, I do. But with a true love for the entire thing. What are your like big reflections on that show? Like, what are your main memories? What, like, do you love it? Like, how are you feeling about it?
It's a lot of mixed feeling, to be fair. Majority was love, love, love. I mean, I am kind of slightly traumatized and didn't realize how traumatized I was when I've approached pop songs, when I've come to sing pop songs since, because the whole singing pop songs as musical theatre will forever just be one of the ickiest things to me. I don't know, it's very, very strange, like, how my feeling towards it has developed as the years have gone on. But I actually was in a singing lesson over lockdown with my singing teacher, Dane Chalfin, who was a legend, absolute wizard. And I was like, do you know what? Today, I haven't really got a song I need to work on, but I'm going to take The Voice Within because I've not wanted to even touch. I've not even wanted to touch that song since week two of Dorothy, where Sheila Hancock really put me through it.
Did
and
she?
It was hideous. Yeah. Oh, it was hideous. I mean, I don't think Sheila was my biggest fan anyway, but it was just, it just had so much trauma that week. And I went to sing it and I was like, like my whole body reacted. It's really strange how, like, that's 12 years on or 13 years on or however long it was, that my body was still reacting in that way. So I clearly hold some little bits of trauma from it.
I mean, it is an intense thing, right? Like, you're on Saturday night telly. And also, this is in reality TV land, like, 12 whatever years ago, when kindness was not the top of everybody's agenda. So it was like, it was quite brutal at times. People were...
Yeah, it was. And I just turned 18 when I went on that show. Like, I turned 18 in the November before. And we were all so young, I think. And because of that, actually, and I do see that within the Mamma Mia show, they're all so young and quite tight-knit from the first week, what I can gather. And I think we all just wanted to get on and we all kind of formed this sisterhood, which was so beautiful. And it's such a unique kind of bond that we created, because only the 11 of us will have experienced that particular thing. So that was such a massive bonus, I think, and being at that age. And I will say the one thing that we are all so very grateful for during that time, the producers and the team made us delete all of the social media so that we weren't kind of focused.
So you weren't looking at it all and whatever?
Yeah, no, we weren't looking at it. I mean, we didn't have time to look at it. We were in the studio every day till, like, God knows when. But it was, we were kind of protected in that way from the world of social media. And I think it's vastly different now. And it's something that we all have spoken about and reflect on and are so grateful for, that they really looked after us, especially because we were so young.
Obviously, I have to ask you about the way that they eliminated people on that show, because to be honest, the reason I started watching it again during lockdown was because I remembered that and I was like, no, surely I'm misremembering what's happening here. And then I rewatched it. And so for anyone listening who doesn't remember, when somebody was, I don't know what the polite way of saying it was, like, eliminated.
Eliminated, evicted, evicted is big
booted
brother,
off.
Booted off, kicked off.
They had to stand there and then the others would sing, "We thank you very sweetly. You've killed her so completely." No, ditched her so completely. Then take your shoes off, give them to the other person who then gives them to Andrew Lloyd Webber, who's in a throne. And then you're in a moon. Why are you in a moon? No one knows. I guess, is it symbolic of a bubble? We don't know. And then floated off, never to be seen again, at least by the audience. It's camp perfection to the viewer's point of view. At the time, did everybody realise how absurd it was?
I think we were all just kind of riding the wave. They were just like, there's going to be a moon. We were like, oh, I was like, I'm scared of heights.
Yeah, I hope they strapped you in. Safety first.
This is gonna go well. And we had a rehearsal, like a tech rehearsal with the moon. And I remember I've got like pictures from someone's digital camera at the time of like different people on the moon, like, and all you had was like you sat on the perch, and you just had a wrist strap.
No.
And that was it. And you hold the side.
Can you imagine if someone had fallen? Like,
terrifying.
That would have been
especially
been awful.
Like in a big dress as well. We had a big it was quite scary. But like also you couldn't, when you were singing, when you were going up, you couldn't hear anything. So I was like, oh my God, did I sound crap? Like, did I sound good? I don't know. But yeah, it was daunting. It was very, very daunting.
It was wild. It was wild. Angela Webber in a throne forever. Forever.
I mean,
listen, where he deserves to be, but I'm not taking it away from him.
And I mean, I lost out to the winner, so I give my shoes to the winner.
You did. So, like, listen, if not her, I think that's the way it goes.
We're good, and she's one of my best mates now, so...
Yeah, are the Dorothys all friends? Is there a WhatsApp group? What's going on?
Yeah, we did have a WhatsApp group over lockdown. I think everyone's kind of doing their own thing, but we all are very good friends.
Love.
And if we were to be back in a room together, it'd be amazing. We were actually before the pandemic, we'd got together and made this WhatsApp group because we were going to do a little 10-year reunion concert, which we thought would go down a storm.
I'd be
with
there.
The cult followers.
I'd have my tickets. Don't you worry about that.
front row. But obviously the pandemic hit and we were like, oh, what can we do? So then we thought, let's do, obviously jump on the video bandwagon, yeah. Get people involved. We were like, should we just try and get in touch with Andrew, see if he'll play something? And he did. And it was amazing. Yeah, it was for that like brief moment in lockdown, we came back together again. It was really, really lovely. But yeah, we're good pals still. Everyone's still kind of good. It's nice to check in with them now and then.
Is there like a street gang rivalry with the Nancys? Are we all like... That would be a musical.
Oh my God, the Nancys versus the Dorothys. Imagine.
I wouldn't know where to go. No, I'd be Team Dorothy, I think, but it would be a struggle.
To be fair, with that, with the whole like Nancys, Maria's thing, it's you bump into these people over the years and it is like an unspoken kind of bond that you have. Like, I remember, I think it was before I sang Cabaret on the live show, and the VT was rolling and I was setting up on stage and I looked into the audience and I saw Sam Barks and Neve Perry sat together and they were like, woo! And I was like, woo! And then, like, ever since, like, I kind of had that interaction with them. I mean, when I was working at Arts Ed, Sam popped in to watch a show at Arts Ed one day and I was working behind the bar and she was like, oh my God, hello! Like, and it's just this unspoken bond that when you work with these people, you're like, I know what you went through.
And obviously so many people have gone on to have these amazing stage careers, which is actually, mm-hmm. I was thinking about it, like, for a reality competition show, it's quite rare that a large number of people who go on those shows end up doing the career that they're trying to do. Like, if you think about X Factor, like, there's Little Mix and there's like a few, but most people don't become pop stars, whereas loads of the alum of those shows have gone on to have these amazing careers, yourself included. Like, it's nice to see people out there doing well, I guess.
Yeah, doing well. It is, and it's really nice to follow people. And especially like when, before I went on the Dorothy programme, like, I grew up watching the Marias, the Josephs, the Nancys, like, and to watch them go on and do great things. Like, I was such a huge fan of Jessie Buckley. Like, such a huge fan. Like, her performance of The Man That Got Away is, like, a core memory for me. Like, watching it on that Saturday night and thinking, oh my God, I love that song. I think she's absolutely wonderful. And she's really inspired me. And then to see how her career is absolutely catapulted.
Oscar noms.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And, like, they give her loads of stick. Like, so much stick. Like, I remember, like, because she wasn't a dancer and she wasn't a mover and she had very little experience at the time. But then look at her now. She is just flying and it's just incredible.
Yeah. It's amazing.
But, yeah, it is. It's great. And it's weird. Like, I had the full circle moment this year of doing the Wizard of Oz.
Yes, talk to me about
that. And when I got the job, it was, and I mean, when I got the job and didn't get there's nothing to do with Dorothy, I was like, this is where I'm meant to be the witch, and it just all makes sense.
Not
now.
Everyone's Dorothy. Some of us are witches, and I think we should live and stand in our truth loud and proud.
100%. Yeah, I think I've always related to the witches.
You've seen my TikTok. Do you think I'm like public enemy number one to the Dorothys? It sits heavy on my heart.
No, you put us on the map.
I don't think I'd put you on the map. I think you put yourself firmly on the map.
No, but it's like, it's so funny how lockdown brought everyone back together watching it. And then to see your TikTok, I was like, no, this is comedy. Because it is comedy.
It is comedy. Like, it is, it's just definition of camp. It really is.
No, I absolutely love your TikTok. It really made me laugh. And that's why I was like commenting like, notice me, notice me.
And then I did. I was like, oh, no, not top five Dorothy.
And here we are.
Here we are. So, Mamma Mia, the new one. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this episode. So first of all, it opens with a really long exposition about what Mamma Mia is. And I'm feeling like we all know what Mamma Mia is. They do this really long explanation. I'm like, who's watching this show being like, oh, no, never heard of ABBA. But, you know, I guess nice to set the scene. And then we meet our stars in the way that I think is the only way we should have met them, which is in a group performance of I Have a Dream, where one of them is building a table out of wood, one of them's on a boat, One of them's pegging the washing out. Beautiful work. It's just beautiful work. I just thought, I love all of this.
I mean, the production value is through the roof, isn't it? Like, this is not a Saturday night at Fountain Studios.
They have found the budgets.
They have budget. Do you know what? I was super impressed with that opening. I was like, oh my God, it's like the movie.
Yeah, like, it is like the movie. It's exactly like the movie.
I was hooked. I was absolutely hooked. Yeah, I was a big, big fan of how they did it. And I think it was a really solid representation of what Mamma Mia is.
I also, I controversially don't like that song. And there's not many ABBA songs that I don't really like. But something about that one, I think because I associate it with the Westlife version. And I love Westlife, but it doesn't work for me. Like, I don't like that Westlife song. And so I've blamed Benny and Bjorn, I think. I'm not sure. I don't want to unpack it. But I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was a really nice way to open the show, set everybody up, give everyone equal screen time, doing odd jobs around the hotel.
Pegging out
listen,
the washing.
Someone's got to put the washing out. I love it. It's a lot of contestants, a lot of costumes.
It's a cost of living crisis. There are no tumble dryers. What can we say?
No, they've got that lovely Grecian sun as well, so they may as well make the most of it.
Yeah, they are in Greece. That is another thing. They're in Greece. I'm like, okay, we're not in Wembley now.
Yeah, well, you absolutely live it. I suppose, where would you have gone, though? I mean, they're not going to send you to, like, the Emerald City, are they? So,
send me to Kansas.
Kansas.
So, send me to America, you know? Like, no, I'd be terrified of tornadoes, to be fair. Yeah. That's great, isn't it? That's why I'm not right for Dorothy. Terrified of tornadoes.
Then they all go to their villa. I feel like every reality TV show nowadays is a group of 18-year-olds living in a villa. It can be any genre. They always live in a villa.
Literally.
Lucky them. And then Zoe Ball walks in. I love Zoe Ball. She's so funny.
I love Zoe Ball. I love her.
Her radio show.
I just
show.
Love her on the radio.
Yeah, her radio show is so warm. I just think she's perfect for the show as well, I think, for that reason.
I think she's absolutely wonderful.
Mothering person. I feel like she'll be nice to all of them, and that's what they need. How do you, so at this point, they don't really know this, what the format's going to be, I presume. How do you think they're feeling about this whole process?
I mean, they're probably like, I'm in Greece, I'm living my best life, what is happening? At this point, I'm kind of like, I look back on like my experience and how I felt, and I just kind of, I don't know whether it's because I knew that I'd got into drama school and that if everything didn't work out, then I'd be like, fine. But I just really rode the wave. And the role of Dorothy was actually just kind of...
Just a part of it.
Weirdly. Yeah, I just kind of wanted to stay in to have a great time. So I don't know whether they would be so focused on the actual, like, I want to be Sophie... Or whether they're just like, I just want to soak this up as much as I can. Because they're in Greece. It's like all expenses paid. They're living their best life.
Then we meet our judges. So Samantha, she gives us her little taste of Frozen, which I saw her in. It's great.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's
I'm
good.
So bad.
It's really good. I wasn't sure because I don't not like Disney movies, but I'm not like bothered. But it's actually really good. The only part of it, though, was like, the dress reveal is amazing. The way they do it, like, because obviously she goes into... But I go to see a lot of drag shows, and so they do a dress reveal unlike anybody else. So I was like, this is amazing. But, like, I know a few people who
can
do
this. You need to watch and learn, honey.
Yeah, literally. And then, obviously, Samantha talks about Nancy and her coming out of one of these shows. I think that's amazing for her, that to have that trajectory that she's been on over, like... Nancy was a few years before yours, right? So, like, 16, 17 years. It must feel very
surreal. She's had an incredible run.
Yeah, she really has.
She's had an incredible run. And I think, like, again, she's just so talented, but so lovely and so warm and humble. And I think that's really served her well over the years.
Jessie Ware.
Oh my gosh, I'm such a fan.
Jessie Ware is everything. I love her. That was a London lockdown kind of moment. I feel like she really emerged in lockdown.
Oh my gosh, that album. What's the album called?
It's called. Hang on. Somewhere in the
city. Spotlight's on.
High. I can't remember. Can't remember the name of the album, but it's a great album.
But every day I had that album on in lockdown. Yeah. Every day in my car.
Jessie is so. She's. I think she's very naturally like this, but the way she like mm-hmm. serves gay people everything they want. Like, there's something about her, and it's like just everything about her, you can just tell she has a lot of gay friends. I think it's probably just that. But like yeah. she's very she's kind of camp, she's very like musical theatery, her pop music, like even the fact that she self-defines yeah. in that VT as like, hi, I'm Jessie Ware, I'm a pop star. I'm like, I know you are a pop star, but that's very funny too.
She's great.
I love her.
And she just always looks incredible. She's always giving me like Liza, like in a like a the sequined Liza era.
Yeah, she is. She's very well, I suppose she does a lot of disco music, so maybe that's what she's channeling. But I see that sequins all over the place.
Oh, she's so good. A lot of feathers. She's so talented.
Yeah, she is.
Love her.
Amber Riley, who I am not a Gleek, but I did see her in Dreamgirls, and it
me too.
Blew me sideways. Her voice.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Are you a Gleek?
I'm not a Gleek. Like, I wasn't obsessed. I watched it. But then, yeah, I wasn't like, oh my god, I love everyone. Like, I wasn't an obsessed fan. I didn't look that deeply into
it. No, I mean,
but I did enjoy it. I appreciate it.
I wouldn't overanalyze it. The Britney Spears episode is quite good.
Overanalyzing Glee. Like,
what does it all mean? Nothing.
What does it mean? It
doesn't mean anything.
But no, the Britney Spears episode is.
And as I said, Amber Riley and Dreamgirls. I don't know if she ever does it again. Oh, everyone needs to go and see it. It's incredible.
Incredible.
Truly incredible.
Yeah.
And then we have Alan Carr, who I think is amazing because I love in his VT, he was just like, listen, everyone's going to be like, you can't sing, you can't dance. Why are you here? Well, look at all my awards. I'm on the stage all the time.
But I get it. I get having someone like that on the panel because he's obviously very successful from having a presence on stage. And I think it's really important. I think there are so many... you can have all of the talent and the skill in the world, but if you go on stage and you can't sell it, he owns it. Even like when Adele had to go and get her makeup fixed and he stood up and sang for her. Like, hilarious. Yeah. Shouldn't have been. Hilarious.
Really,
like,
yeah, what was he singing? Was it like Make You Feel My Love? Like a really big song. But like,
yeah.
Like I wouldn't attempt.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. But I think he's funny. I think Alan Carr's great.
I do too. I love Alan Carr. So I think it's actually a really fun judging panel. It feels like they like each other.
Yeah, when Jesse and him are just sat there watching.
Yeah, just fully taking the piss.
Having a laugh.
They love it. Yeah, talking of. So then they all go into their rehearsals with Martin and Anthony, who I truthfully don't know, but they seem nice.
Anthony is a ledge. I mean, oh, really? I'm not overly familiar with Martin, but Anthony is... I met him once when we were in Mamma Mia. We did the 15th anniversary of Mamma Mia, like at the Olivier's. So we did a performance with Benny and Bjorn.
Oh, no big deal.
I know, no big deal. Rocked into work on a Sunday on the day off, and it was like on the tick list in, like signing in list. It's like Benny, tick, Bjorn, tick. I was like, oh, casual.
Oh,
but yeah, and Anthony is, he came in to do a bit of choreo and stuff. And he's worked wonders. Like, he's incredible.
And then, yeah, my favourite part of the rehearsals was when Samantha Box and Amber Riley jump up to help with very serious, helpful critique and advice. And then Jessie Ware and Alan Carr just sit and take the piss. Just like, I feel like there's probably a bottle of wine off shot. Like, they're just very chilled. Definitely. Which is actually really weird because Jessie Ware is an amazing singer and probably has a lot to say.
Offer.
Yeah. But is sitting back at this point.
Especially within the world of, like, the musicality of the show. I think, because as we say, it's like, I say this is a traumatic part of the whole competition thing, but it's something that I've learned over the years since doing that competition. It's having the style correct, but then also being able to cross over to the musical theatre side of things without giving up the style.
Yeah.
And I think musically, in order to do that, and I think this is why Jessie Ware is so brilliant, because it's a pop musical. In order to do that, you have to immerse yourself and you have to be really familiar with pop music. I always say this, like, when I'm teaching people, when I've got new students at home, I'm like, if you want to get good at a certain style and you want people to not only go, oh, they can sing that style, but, oh, wow, they really own that style, you have to immerse yourself within the world of that style and listen to a lot of that music. And that you can't help but then channel it through because you've heard stuff and you've took stuff on board. So I think having her as a pop star and kind of bringing them back into the pop side of things,
yeah,
is really useful to nail the style. Because when you audition for Mamma Mia, they're like, no vibrato, and people are like, oh, people from the world of musical theatre are like, oh, that's really scary, or like, no vibrato, because that's what you're taught at college, yeah, to sing with vibrato, and it's musical theatre, it's Broadway belt. But actually, when you listen to the style, and if you inhabit the style, that comes out naturally, you don't even think about.
Mm. What happens next? Okay, Judy Kramer arrives.
Oh, Judy!
That's intense for them, I imagine. I feel like I want her to maybe not be a judge, but I want her on a throne. I feel like that's part of the legacy of these shows that I want to bring back. Put Judy on a throne. I get the vibe that's not really her personality, but that would be fun for me.
No, but it would be really good TV.
Wouldn't it? Like, just the four judges there and then her just on the throne.
Yeah. Do you know what? I have a really vivid memory of Judy. I think I met her once, like at the opening of our opening night or whatever. And all I remember is there was free Pimm's and I kind of nearly dropped my Pimm's and I think it splashed on her shoe and I just was terrified.
No, not Judy.
I was like,
I feel like she has very expensive shoes. Her outfits on this show looked amazing. So I feel like,
I mean, she always looks incredible, but she's lovely. Mm. She's really lovely. But I was like, oh my God, I like spilled Pimm's on her shoes.
I'm going to get fired.
That's all I remember. When I think of Judy Kramer, all I think is, oh shit, I spilled Pimm's on her shoes.
I feel like someone probably did that on this recording because they're all sat around their pretend restaurant. Alan Carr's probably got the red wine on the go.
Yeah.
Then they go into their performances. Before we do that, imagine you were going to do an ABBA song. Like, what's your... On a stage, what would be the one?
I've always loved Thank You for the Music.
Okay, later ABBA. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something about that song. I always sang it growing up.
Mm.
And I think, I don't know, I have such a... Do you know what? I used to love that, the big pop mix that all of the...
Yeah,
like
Steps, Cleopatra, Tina Arena, a bunch of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And it finished on Thank You for the Music, and I think I just used to...
The thing about Thank You for the Music that I always think is a bit brutal is because it's like, I'm nothing special, I'm a bit of a bore. It's written by her ex-husband. By that point, they've divorced, and then he's written a song for her that's like, I'm really boring and no one likes me, but I'm a good singer. Like, Benny or Bjorn, whichever one it was.
They were, like, crazy.
Yeah. I feel like I would want to do Fernando.
Oh, it's good.
I'd want to be dressed as Cher in Mamma Mia 2. I would want to spot somebody from across the taverna and just go, Fernando?
Fernando?
And then go into it. Like, I only want to do that whole scene because I think it might be my favourite thing that's ever happened in a movie. Like, the way that character only exists so that at the end of the movie, Cher can spot him and then say, Fernando?
So iconic. It's honestly, Cher is the fact that she said, what does she say? She says something about little girl.
She says, Sophie says to her, but grandma, you weren't invited. And then she goes, well, that's the best kind of party, little girl.
Well, that's the best part kind of party, little girl.
Oh, who cast Cher and Mamma Mia? I need to give them flowers or something. Amazing.
So good.
Okay, so then we go into our performances. We start with Money, Money, Money. Stephanie's our panto queen. Maddie is our Bolton bar worker. Love. My favourite thing was when she said, so I must leave. And then she backwards swan dived off the piano. Very Cheryl Cole on the voice, which I appreciate. That was my favourite moment of the song.
Loved it. I actually used to love that song growing up. I've just like kind of had a weird nostalgic feeling of like, oh, we're singing it in my house.
Yeah. It's quite a fun one to sing. Like, if you're at home alone, you can just like really charge around the house, you know?
Yeah. Like, and on our last matinee of Mamma Mia, this is quite naughty. So like last matinees, I don't know if you know, on a last matinee, sometimes that's when everybody does pranks and changes stuff. But you have to do it cleverly, like within the realm of like people in the audience wouldn't notice, but people on stage would. And me and my friend Steph, who were Ali and Lisa, weren't in that number on stage, but we learnt it for the last matinee and we went on. We're like that. Whatever it is, it's like money. Yeah, that was funny. It just made me think of that. It's funny.
Our judges give basically no notes on money. They don't have a whole lot to say. They are being very positive and very kind.
Yeah.
But they don't have tons to say. The only person who really has a note was Amber, who said one of them.
Sing out, Louise! Sing out.
Yes, exactly that. It is. That's the note.
Yeah.
Everyone else was just like, that was really good. We love it. Which is... Yeah, you know, I sort of hope that they get, I don't want them to get mean or make people feel bad, but I hope that they are able to relax into maybe giving a few more like constructive moments.
Yeah, well, I think, do you know what, it was really hard. I wanted them to do solo from the get-go. I think the format and how they did it, I get it, and it's kind of replacing like the earlier stages within the audition process. It's replacing the Dorothy Farm. It's replacing the top 20 where they do the four. We did it in groups of four. And I think it's really hard then. You kind of know that nobody's going to get voted off, because I think it's really hard to judge that and vote somebody off from doing joint performances sometimes. Yeah. And I know that they all had their kind of bit to sing, but I'm here for the solos, man.
I am too.
I can't wait.
Well, so if I was there, I would want my solo moment. I mean, I think that maybe is more indicative of my personality than the need to change the format, but I want my moment.
Yeah, well, you're on national TV and you want that. It's really hard to then, if you get like a line here and there, to make your moment in the line, and it's just...
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah, yeah. It's harder than having a solo and just kind of owning your own moment. For like a minute and a half or whatever. Yeah. But I think it is really hard to get a fair kind of critique from it.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And I mean, the next group, there's three of them, which is even harder. Mm. Like, they have to do SOS. So we've got Craig, our beautiful, beautiful man. Tell him I say hi. Tobias, Somerset boy. And then Marcellus, who's 36. Yeah. He's 36. He's older than me. I mean,
oh my gosh.
What is that skincare routine?
He does not look that
age.
What
is he using? Like, that is wild.
I'm going to need that.
Great. Their performance, so they're doing SOS. It's a lot of back to camera, turn to camera, back to camera. It's very Westlife. It's very sort of early 2000s.
It give me Westlife. Yeah. It give me Westlife. And then the rain, the biblical rain.
Yes.
Like, give me Westlife. Yeah. But I thought it was really strong. I think they're all really strong. Obviously, they made the thing of, they had an illness this week, and which happened to be, which is quite funny. I completely lost my voice. Yeah, before Cabaret, and I couldn't sing all week. And the first time that I sung was on the dress rehearsal on the Saturday, and then went on
and killed it.
Yeah,
now she does.
Smashed it. Actually,
absolutely, absolutely destroyed it. That is how you do it, ladies, Dorothy's.
But yeah, flipping back to the guys, I think, like, obviously it's always hard when you're not feeling 100%. And I think it's something that will inevitably be part of their careers moving forward. It happens to the best of us. Like, it's about being able to reground and navigate and know your voice well enough to know, oh, I can flip it into there or there or there, and... or knowing when to call it quits. As they said, like, Amber said she had no voice and she had to do...
Yeah, I thought that. And she said she got one of the best reviews of her life for And I Am Telling You, which is... I mean, how do you sing that with a bad voice?
But sometimes not overthinking and just working with... one of the best pieces of advice that I got given from my singing teacher was, wake up and work with what you've got that day. Okay, what have I got today? Okay, I'm working with this. Okay, we're going to work around that. And that just takes the pressure off. And I think if they can learn that, and if they did learn that from that week, then that's fantastic. Yeah. I loved Craig. I thought they were all great. I did love Tobias.
I thought Tobias had the pipes. I was like, wow.
I'm like, ooh, he's one to watch.
Yeah, I think Tobias is one to watch. That voice is amazing. I was really, really impressed. I mean, they're all great, but Tobias in particular stood out. Was like, okay, singing.
Oh yeah.
I don't have any I can't sing and I have no knowledge of singing. So my whole critique is like, okay, singing, good. Great singing.
Very nice. Yeah.
Our next group is Knowing Me, Knowing You. So Darcy from Hampshire, construction worker, love. And Callum, who's a dinner lady. Oh, I love that he's a dinner lady. That is absolutely adorable.
It's so
just
good.
Going to playground and like helping them just live their lives. I don't know. I love that. Callum's
love, like breaking up the 4-year-olds is what he said, didn't he? No, but I think Darcy's clearly like leaning man material. You can see that he kind of like oozes the charm. Yeah. And I think Callum, I'm always a fan of an underdog. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I think vocally, stylistically, he really brings something different and new. And not that, this is the thing as well. I'm like, Sky doesn't really do much.
I thought this when I went to see it the other day. I know I'm whispering into this mic. Don't tell anyone. But I was watching it and I was like, he doesn't really have many moments. Like, he's very there to support Sophie's story. He doesn't even have a solo, does he?
No, I mean, he does that bit in Lay All Your Love. Yeah. But, I mean, it's some lovely, like, acting moments, some lovely scenes and stuff like that. So maybe we'll see more on that front in the weeks.
Yeah, it's a lot of acting. It's a lot of, like, there's that brilliant scene where they're all in their, like, flippers and whatever, like, marching along. There's, like, funny physical comedy and stuff to do. So that'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, there's a few good scenes. But singing-wise, I mean, like, he doesn't have to sing as much as Sophie does. But I did think Callum's voice was, I think I like an underdog. Mm. I like somebody who starts out like he's got potential and he could go somewhere. And I think that's maybe what we might see, hopefully. But
very good. Well done, boys. Next they had my song, Fernando. Leah and Esme. Very good.
Yeah, Leah is from my neck of the woods, so I'm like team Leah.
Leah is an early fave for me. There's something about her. I think it's the, I mean, she's a great singer, but the charisma, she seems so charismatic and so you could just feel her like energy when she's performing and stuff. I really liked her. I was a big fan.
It's that T-side charm,
listen,
my friend. T-sider.
They don't make it like that anywhere else. It's what we always say.
Yeah, she's really, I did, because she's, again, so young and she says that.
She's 18, right?
Oh, sure. She's, I think, she's 20.
Okay. Still
20. But, I mean, I briefly spoke to her yesterday and just said, like, ride the wave and, like, you're repping our area. It's such a big thing for our area to have somebody on mainstream TV and it's repping the area in the best way possible. And I was like, just, like, ride the wave. Love it. Smashing it. So proud of her. Don't even, like, literally spoke to her for the first time yesterday and so proud of her already.
Yeah, she's great. I love her a lot. Yeah. They were both great. And also, they had the wind on this show is crazy. I feel like they go to Crete expecting this amazing.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But they then get this, like, Beyonce hair moment where their wind's going. I was like, oh. Some people just carry it with them, don't they? I don't carry it with me. I don't have any hair, so it doesn't work for me. next up, we had Zach and Owen, Waterloo.
Oh.
Now this, I feel like you can imagine how I feel about this. Oh, the way they clung onto those menus, they were not letting them go. The menus were front and center. The acting on this is, it's a big performance. And
Musical theatre.
It really is. Like, every word, every sentence, everything is acted out very physically. And I was obsessed with it. So this is kind of what I wanted.
The chemistry between them as well really was present. Like, you could really tell they got on really well. And you know that there is that in the show. I think it's because as much as Sky is the romantic lead, there's also like the stag party and stuff like that. So it makes perfect sense and it worked really well.
I absolutely loved it. Great prop work, great choreo, camp it up. I loved it. Big fan.
We love a prop.
We love a prop. The way it was like, hold the menu to the front, to the side, up and down. Like, yes, keep that menu, baby. I loved it. And then our final one, Chiquitita, which I think is a very hard song because French and Saunders ruined it for me by their parody of it. It's so funny that I can't hear anything else. Yeah. So every time that song comes on, I just see Dawn French as Julie Walters doing chicken tikka. Tell me what's wrong. So good.
Iconic.
So that's Stevie, Desmonda, and Maisie. Maisie's a factory worker.
So yeah.
Nice little detail.
Great.
They all sound amazing. Desmonda, I thought, was amazing. Something about
she's
her.
She's stunning.
Whoa. I was like, you have it.
Yeah. Well, she's been one to watch for a couple of years.
Oh, really?
In the world of musical theatre. Yeah. So to see her pop up like this, I'm like, I'm not surprised. Like, I mean, she's perfect. She's perfect.
I think this vocally was my favourite of the night, the three of them. I think it came together really well.
Yeah.
It felt like almost like a girl band. They sort of, their voices really came together really nicely.
Yeah, I thought individually they were all really, really strong. And I really like Stevie as well. I really like her voice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought together the blend was great. The festival choreo was killing me.
The like, little folk festival, like where I come from in Dorset.
I love.
We have this like the Dorset Folk Festival. And everyone gets together and you like hold a ribbon and like run around a maypole. And then you do like, it was really giving me like the village folk festival.
It was giving me like dance festivals, like when I was a kid, like the 10 to 12 open national solo section.
Yeah.
And I absolutely loved it. But again, it's a prime example of like Mamma Mia adapting this just bonkers kind of collection of different style
and like
it just works.
The thing about ABBA as well, ABBA in or Mamma Mia or otherwise, is that actually when you read the words to the songs, they're often like really sad or really like emotional, but then they've got these like disco pop beats behind them. So then you have to like dance along and you're like, oh, this person's living in an awful life, but let's disco.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit that maybe, but
yeah.
I thought it was great. I was a big fan. The judges were like, we love it. They didn't have any, they just were very enthusiastic. And I was like, yay.
10 out of 10, no,
you're
no.
You're correct.
Yeah.
You're correct, Jessie Ware. You're absolutely correct. Once again, we're on the same page. And that was it. And then we had this like pretend moment where they were like, ooh, maybe let's get Judy. Everyone goes home. They're probably pissing, like, it sounds like piss it down on them. So they're probably all soaked. Judy comes over and leans over the desk and they do like a pretend discussion, I'm assuming. And then no one goes home. And I
think they should have just said,
yeah,
right,
same.
Nobody's going to go home the first week. It's an intro episode. Yeah. I think, like, no fault of anybody involved, like the talent or anything like that, but I think we should have just said, okay, this is the introduction.
Yeah.
Like, do you know, like, Strictly introduce
where they
do the couples.
Yeah, I agree.
It should have been that. It should have been a, instead of being like, oh, no one's going home, I'm like,
because it's
just
so,
do a little intro episode.
It's so, It's just such an anticlimax because they build the episode around everyone's really nervous about who's going to go and they kind of do that all the way through and then nothing happens. Whereas I think you're right, if it was like we're going to get to know everybody and then the competition really starts next week, then you'd be like, you set the expectation.
I think that's what I kind of missed actually is when you cut out the earlier auditions, you lose that kind of, oh, you pick your favourite from the beginning, you follow their journey and you really get to know them. You get to know different people. People have different, like, oh, I'm from this neck of the woods and this is my favourite thing and they go into their school and stuff like that. And I feel like maybe that is to come.
Yeah.
But I feel like from the get-go, you see people at the auditions and you're like, oh, there's something about them that I really like. And then you follow them for the weeks. And I think we've cut straight to the chase here and we've gone straight into the main competition.
Yeah.
And I kind of miss the charm of the old.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Because you don't even get
audition process.
Because there's a lot of them there and they were doing a lot of performances and whatever. We didn't even really, apart from very short VTs to tell us basically where they're from and what they do for a job, we didn't really even get to know like anything about them. So you slightly lack.
Yeah, no,
I don't know who
know
they
them.
Are. Like, I want to know, especially before some of them start going home, which I imagine they're going to have to do in chunks because I think we've only got 5 weeks and there's 14 of them, so I want to know them. And I think you're right, the audition thing, because it does feel a bit like, who are these people? Like, you just picked seven boys and seven girls and then here we all are.
I just missed it a bit.
I really enjoyed the episode. I thought it was really fun. The talent's
really strong
and it's, I love, and it's ABBA, so you can't go wrong, but it does lack a, like, I don't know what the story is of this show, like what's the
And
if you're not doing,
I'm intrigued to know how it rolls out. Yeah.
And on the previous ones, the story was the public vote and like the jeopardy of who's going to go home and stuff, which I'm sure was horrendous if you were in it, but from the public point of view, it gives us something to root for. We're like waiting to know, and it's an anticipation. Well, we don't have that with this one, so you're like, I need something more. How do you think they will do the eliminations?
I would hope that they put them in a boat.
Yeah, me too. I want them to put them in dungarees and then just like kick them off a cliff into the ocean or something. Just no death. just the dramatic, or like, I don't know. Or like, you know that bit where Meryl Streep falls through the roof and lands on her back?
Yeah, fall through the roof.
Maybe that? I don't know.
I mean, do you know what? Like, we can... I think I'm more than qualified enough to be able to go in hard and want the worst, because I went through it.
Yours was truly the worst, the most brutal one.
I think sailing away, there's something so sad about, there's like that awful, it's like an awful like Instagram filter where it's like somebody on a, you get like your head on this like boat sailing on a river. It's like a weird,
there is.
Like filter. And I feel like it'd be really funny if they, well, really funny, that's really mean. Again, I don't think it's as brutal, so I'm allowed to say that. We need a little bit of like...
Yeah, sending them back to the mainland would be...
Putting them on, putting them in a little boat and just pushing the boat away and go, bye. Nice. Like she does at the end of the show.
Yeah, and they'd have to
walk off.
They'd have to sing. I suppose they'd have to sing I Have a Dream, which is very sad, because it's like, well, you had a dream, but we've just sailed you away from it. So maybe you don't anymore.
You have a dream, but it's not gonna work out.
Well, it's not coming true. And that, bye.
And that's the real world, honey.
Welcome to theatre, darling.
Welcome to the business.
Literally, that is it.
But yeah, that'd be funny. I think.
Let's find
out. Maybe the boat.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing... I hope that it is something very, very inventive.
I do too. I feel like it's not going to be. That's my truth. But we'll find out. We'll find out next week.
Yeah.
And there we go. That was episode one of Mamma Mia, I Have a Dream. Thank you so much for joining me and talking about a Mamma Mia-themed reality TV show. It was very fun.
I mean, nothing more that I would want to do with my Wednesday morning off.
After a massive long drive last night. I'm sure. I believe you, yeah.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.